Radio Daily for Weekend Eve.
Yeah, I know. You're like, you say that every one of these days, and I do, but it still feels good. Say it with me. Weekend Eve. Right? It's just a little warms up there in the cockles of the heart, the subcockal region, the liver, the colon, you never can tell.
Whoa, hit you.
To the 11th of October, 2018, we are the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and, you know, places like that. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man that just sits here and gets to listen to me just espouse all the wonderfulness that is geek and geekery of itself. That there is podcast news, Rich Sickfrit.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
Shut your damn dirty... Hi. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You're not interesting. You're just idiotic.
Oh, fine then. What happened this fine day, sir?
You know what? You tell Cartwell to start being nicer to you. That's just mean. In 1582, because of the adoption of the Gregorian calendar, this day does not appear in the year in Italy, Poland, Portugal, and Spain.
So did everyone just sit around and wait for the calendar to catch up, or do they still have to do stuff? I'm so confused.
Trances.
Ah, 1767. Surveying for the Mason-Dixon line separating Maryland from Pennsylvania is completed.
1811, inventor John Stevens' boat, the Juliana, begins operation as the first steam-powered ferry, service between New York City, New York, and Hoboken, New Jersey.
1890, in Washington, D.C., the Daughters of the American Revolution is founded.
1906, San Francisco Public School Board sparks a diplomatic crisis between the United States and Japan by ordering Japanese students to be taught in racially segregated schools. Thank God we don't have to worry about stuff like that today.
Nope, no more. 1910, former President Theodore Roosevelt becomes the first U.S. president to fly in an airplane. He flew for 4 minutes with Arch Hoxie in a plane built by the Wright brothers at Kinnock Field in St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow. 1950, CBS's mechanical color system is the first to be licensed for broadcast by the U.S. Federal Communications Commission.
1956, the Muppets make their first network television appearance on The Steve Allen Show. Before that, for 2 years, they were like a UHF channel. Before UHF.
You know what I said about that?
Yay!
1957, MIT scientists calculate Sputnik 1's booster rocket's orbit.
They were bored that day. 1958, NASA launches the lunar probe Pioneer 1. It falls back to Earth. It burns up. Try again.
1968, NASA launches Apollo 7, the first successful manned Apollo mission, with astronauts Wally Schirra, Don F. Eisel, and Walter Cunningham aboard.
1975, the NBC sketch comedy variety show Saturday Night Live debuts with George Carlin as the host. Andy Kaufman, Janice Ian, and Billy Preston are around as guests.
Well, I've got two jokes for you. First of all, you want to hear my impression of Andy Kaufman's big debut on that show?
Sure. Nice.
And also, I don't think Saturday Night Live is ever going to end because they don't know how to do endings. 1984, aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger, astronaut Catherine D. Sullivan becomes the first American woman to perform a spacewalk.
Still waiting for that space moonwalk. 1987, the first public display of the AIDS Memorial Quilt on the National Mall in D.C. during the National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights, something we still have to do.
1991, Touchstone Pictures releases the comedy Ernest Scared Stupid, starring Jim Varney. And from that point on, as soon as it was released on VHS, it became a regular viewable thing in my household in October.
2000, NASA launches STS-92, the 100th space shuttle mission using space shuttle Discovery.
2001, the Polaroid Corporation files for federal bankruptcy protection. They probably should have just grabbed their accountant and shook him.
Is that how it developed? 2004, the PBS Kids Go programming block is introduced, replacing PBS Kids Bookworm Bunch, a joint programming block with Nelvana Limited, who were big on worms.
Nelvana. I thought that said Nirvana at first.
Come as you are, read a book.
2006, 30 Rock, starring Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin, debuts on NBC. And of course, Madonna adopts a boy from Malawi, Africa.
Very important times to remember. Very important for our geekery. Clearly. Birthdays?
Michelle Trachtenberg, 33 years old, from Adventures of Pete and Pete, Buffy, 6 Feet Under, Gossip Girl, Eurotrip, Cop Out, and of course is the reason that Buffy's mom dies.
Martha McIsaac is 34 from Superbad, Last House on the Left, 1600 Penn, and The Pinkertons.
Matt Bomer, the very handsome Matt Bomer, 41 years old, from White Collar, American Horror Story, Ken and Magic Mike, The Nice Guys, Magnificent Seven, Firefly. Oh, no, wait, no, that was a different guy.
Emily Deschanel is 42, from The Alamo, Boogeyman, Rose Red, and Bones.
Stephen Moyer, 49 years old, Bill in True Blood, Prince Valiant, and of course is known for saying the word shooky.
Jane Krakowski is 50 years of age. Ally McBeal, Sergei the Freak, the vampire's assistant, the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and she's occasionally a judge on The Simpsons.
Artie Lang, 51 years old, from Mad TV, Mystery Men, Old School, and of course had a long run on Pete Holmes' show Crashing.
Luke Perry is 52 years of age, from Beverly Hills 90210, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I'm talking the movie, Good Night for Justice, the TV series, and is currently Archie's dad on Riverdale.
Now, keep in mind that 90210 debuted 28 years ago, so Luke Perry was 47 at the time. I don't know math. Sean Patrick Flannery, 53 years old, from Powder. He was Greg Stilson in the Dead Zone series. He did a run on Dexter, but of course, we first saw him in Young Indiana Jones, and boy, we fell in love with him in the Boondock Saints.
Michael J. Nelson is 54 years of age, from MST, Riff Tracks, and author. Check out his books, Death Rat, and the incredibly funny thing, Mike Nelson's Mind Over Matters.
Incidentally, you can also see Riff Tracks on Twitch. I believe it's twitch.tv/RiffTracks. They have a bunch of the episodes up there now.
Cross promotion.
Yeah. A lady that I had a crush on for so long and still kind of do. Joan Cusack, 56 years old, from SNL, Working Girl, Jessie in Toy Story, pop star, Never Stop, Never Stopping, Adam's Family Values, and of course, is fantastic in Small Role in Gross Point Blank. Or if you really want to know her full catalog, just look up Joan Cusack.
Dawn French is 61 years of age, from French and Saunders, The Vicar of Dibley, Prisoner of Azkaban, and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
And Ron Liebman, 81 years old, from Slaughterhouse-Five, Super Cops, Up the Academy, Zorro the Gay Blade, and Ron Cadillac on Archer.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1821, George Williams, English philanthropist, founded the YMCA. It's fun to stay there.
So I've heard. 1844, Henry J. Hines, American businessman, founded the H.J. Hines Company. Unfortunately, he was falling behind in his competition until he was told to catch up.
Hunts is better. 1913, Joe Simon, the first editor of Timely, that's Marvel Comics, co-created the Newsboy Legion, the Boy Commandos, and Manhunter.
1926, Earl Hyman. He was Grandpa on Cosby's Show, but I grew up with him, and most of us grew up with him, as the voice of Pantero in the original Thundercats.
What the hell is a samophrine?
1935, Dan Evans founded Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. You tell your own jokes there, because I'm not going to.
He's a fan of rocking chairs. CBS, we've got a new Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, Mom, Murphy Brown, and SWAT.
ABC, it's a new Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, and How to Get Away with Murder.
NBC has a new Superstore, Good Place, Will and Grace, I Feel Bad, and Eleanor Spoo.
On Fox, it's the NFL, it's the Eagles versus the Giants, and unless they're the Eagles from Lord of the Rings, I'm pulling for the Giants.
Well, they got the big clubs. They can just knock them out of the air. CW has a new episode of the Hanson Brothers Ghostbusters Power Hour known as Supernatural.
Freeform is showing Despicable Me. I'll stay away from you.
AMC has I, Robot.
CMT staying strong on a new Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders making the team.
FX has The Martian.
FXX, Tonight on The Simpsons. Apparently they're doing a baseball theme. They got Homer at the bat. Them Robot and Dancing Homa.
FXM has The Internship.
The, not the De Niro one. IFC has The Campaign. Not a real one, a funny movie one.
It is a good one. BBC America has an X-Files marathon.
Paramount is showing Nightmare on Elm Street, and it is the original. Thank you, Paramount.
Ooh, nice. Go see Johnny Depp in his first role. Sci-Fi has Leatherface.
TBS will be showing the 2018 Major League Baseball playoffs.
TNT has Safe House.
True TV with a new episode of Impractical Jokers.
Science Channel has Engineering Catastrophes. Haha, people probably died.
But tonight, though, we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman moves away to a distant island and she becomes the new bride of a popular mystery writer. But when she uncovers secrets about her new husband's deceased former wife, she begins to have fears that she may be the next victim. Carly Schroeder and Philip P. Keane star in Deadly Shores.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Stefan gives Sammy a lead on EJ. Or he's just sending her on a nonsense quest so he can cause more drama. Brady secretly follows Kristen, hoping to uncover her secrets because he just has to know what that ribbon around her neck is really for. John goes off on Hattie for putting his plan in jeopardy. He gets so mad at her, he starts sounding like an X-rated Yosemite Sam. Xander has a surprising new partner in crime. I told you Xander was back. His new partner? Andre! Tricked you! You thought I was going to say Jack Devereaux, hashtag Jack forever.
Ooh, it's time to check your mailbox!
And we can do that, even though the mail looks and sounds like this.
Hey guys, this is Jonathan from Birmingham. On September 18th episode, you guys were talking about falling down the rabbit hole. Well, I'm still trying to pull out of the rabbit hole because I got so far down trying to figure out if I have the same issue as the other guys for September 11th. And yeah, mine was doing the same thing for a while. I haven't gone back to double check it since I'm still trying to come out the rabbit hole. So just wanted to let you guys know. Catch you on the flip side. Bye.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I'm glad you faced the rabbit and got away cleanly because, as we all know, that rabbit is vicious. It's a bloody killer.
Well, you know, it's funny. I love going to the rabbit hole. In fact, next time you go there, talk to Dennis. He's the bartender there. He'll take good care of you, even show you where the exit is if you need to get out of the rabbit hole. Don't you know?
If you'd like to tell us where the rabbits are, George, drop us an email, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or you can always send us a voicemail, which could include, oh my God, you should turn the stove off because I think I found a bunny, by sending a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
That's all the rabbits I remember in major motion pictures.
Basic instinct struck really close to home.
A wanderer of the first people. A healer on the run from his church. An honor-bound veteran of the wars. A young woman struggling with her arcane power. A blade-bound orphan from the streets, whose legacy is The Heart of the Hunter. A fantasy audiobook set in the shared world of Cor and I. From the co-creator of Changeling the Dreaming and Wraith the Oblivion, available for free at bit.do/hearthunter.
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and you're here on a most magical day. It's a day where I get to push this button.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Co-op, frag and co-op, and whatever it is, it's time. What are our new games for this week, sir?
Game Dev Story, a game company simulation game. There you go, for the Switch.
Feral Fury, a fast-paced twin-stick shooter roguelike action for the Switch.
Dungeon Village. It's an RPG village simulator for the Switch.
You have all the Sims. Chasm, a 2D side-scroller with elements of both action RPGs and Castlevania-style games for the Switch.
Boom Ball 3. It's boom time again for the Switch.
Battle Group 2, a battleship theme game with gameplay akin to Missile Command, which makes it not like Battleship at all for the Switch.
It makes it just like Missile Command. Elderborn, a skill-based slasher infused with a heavy metal melee combat for the PC.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4. The Call of Duty release for 2018 ditches a traditional single-player campaign in favor of expanded zombie mode, battle royale mode, known as Blackout, which means it's all just online battle royales, PC, PS4, Xbox One. There's something to be said for single-player campaigns.
Yeah, no kidding. The World Ends With You, the game that answers the question, how does Japanese fashion collide with a pin that grants psychic powers? You know, that old chestnut. It's available for the Switch.
Luigi's Mansion. Luigi must explore yet another mansion that he supposedly won in order to save his brother Mario, who is again kidnapped for the 3DS. The last one was awesome.
The Packet Queen, a packet-separating poker-style game. I don't know what that means, but it's available for the PC.
Starlink, Battle for Atlas, a space combat action-adventure game from Ubisoft Toronto with toys-to-life ship parts to assemble and attach to the controller for the Switch.
Neato. Crayola Scoot, ride, jump, do tricks, and paint with scooters for the Switch.
Waited all my life. Big Buck Hunter, the series makes its second trip to home consoles for the Switch.
Lego DC Supervillains. With the Justice League Mysterious gone, it's up to the villains to stop the nefarious Justice Syndicate. It's available for the Switch.
Warriors Orochi 4, the fourth main entry in the Warriors Orochi series for the Switch.
Got Warriors Orochi once, saw a doctor, was fine. The Jackbox Party Pack 5, the fifth party game compilation title from Jackbox Game. If you couldn't get that from the title, you're a moron. See, it's in theme. It's available for the Switch.
Deru, a cooperative puzzle game from the Switch.
Child of Light, a downloadable game inspired by classic RPGs with turn-based combat from the creative director of Far Cry 3, made using the UbiArt engine powering the most recent Rayman games. Available for the Switch.
Tricky Towers, a multiplayer physics-based tower-building puzzle game for the Switch.
Hot Springs Story, build and maintain your own personal Japanese spa for the Switch.
Joggernauts, an indie couch co-op arcade auto runner for the Switch. So much about that just doesn't sound right at all.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Marvel versus DC.
I have a lot of issues. I mean, I have every issue.
I do too, but this is about their other battles.
Yeah, those annual softball games, man, they're bloody.
No, I mean the big ones, the movie battle. See, James Gunn is jumping ship, well, rather was kicked off the ship, and will now be heading over to Warner Brothers to write and maybe direct Suicide Squad 2, Electric Squadaloo.
I thought the subtitle was The Legend of Harley's Gold.
I think you misunderstood what we were talking about. You may remember Gunn was fired from Marvel Studios' Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Dave Bautista was not happy with that at all. So Warner's is like, fine, come on over here, make a new chapter in the struggle between Marvel and DC. Gunn is going to take a totally new approach to the property, so it's not actually a sequel to David Ayer's Suicide Squad. What does that mean? We don't know. But it's from the same guy, and he's going to make it fun and interesting, and the trailer will rock. Right now, he's only writing the film. If he ends up directing it too, it's going to become one of the most highly anticipated comic book movies in quite some time. And considering how many of them there are, that's saying something. So this really gonna end the chance for Gunn returning to Guardians 3, which is on a definite hold, regardless of how things go. Good, bad, the studios will not accept any blame. They never do. Worst part of it is, they're gonna blame us for the whole thing. And they can't have people knowing the truth. We're the patsies, the cover-up. Don't forget, we're the bad guys.
Ah, we're the bad guys. The phrase that was on the writer's copy-paste for the entire script. Every year, words are added to the English language and officially become part of the dictionary, or words get new meanings for the modern audience.
Literally does not mean figuratively.
I literally want to kill someone when they do that. Literally. And that would be, of course, on fleek. But many of the words reflecting are changing and adapting society. But many of the words reflect are changing society. So the addition of cinema-related words seems like it should have happened a long time ago. 20 words total have been added, including Scream Queen, noun, an actress noted for comedic roles, rare, an actress noted for her roles in horror films, and a damn fine series starring Chad Radwell. Convince me otherwise. Tarantino-esque, an adjective, resembling or imitative of the films of Quentin Tarantino, characteristic or reminiscent of these films.
You aren't allowed to say that they're a rip-off of him since his stuff is already, like, ripped off from somebody else?
That's true. Giallo, noun, a genre of Italian thriller or horror film typically involving a murder mystery and characterized by graphic violence, eroticism, an atmospheric, sometimes dreamlike blend of suspense and horror elements, and often a prominent, intense music score, also a film in this genre.
So Scooby-Doo slash fic. Okay.
Keaton-esque, an adjective of or relating to the comic actor and filmmaker Buster Keaton, resembling or characteristic of his films or styles of comedy.
Don't go chasing waterfall.
Spielbergian, an adjective of, relating to, or characteristic of the films of Steven Spielberg, especially as having fantastical or humanist themes or sentimental feel.
Or the use of walkie-talkies instead of guns.
Kubrickian, an adjective of or relating to Stanley Kubrick, resembling or characteristic of his films.
And take forever.
It's true. I watched 2001 A Space Odyssey when I was 12, and I may still literally be watching it. And I may still figuratively be watching it. The next time someone uses literally incorrectly, scream at the heavens in an aerial shot. Hopefully you are just part of a gag reel, or else it would still feel Lynchian.
You're back in the aisle.
I should have read the one sheet closer. And cut.
NASA's OSIRIS-REx is hot on the tail of Bennu.
Turkish star Bennu Yildirim from the wild pear tree, or Bennu Great from Hesipede Ask?
Neither. Bennu, the 4.5 billion year old asteroid that has the potential to collide with Earth in the 22nd century.
Eh, that one's work is overrated.
Officially beginning asteroid operations in August, NASA's asteroid-chasing spacecraft is slowing down on its arrival to Bennu on December 3rd. In the meantime, they've got a tail of the tape for its approach. You can see pictures from the August 17th to October 1st approach as it gets there, and it gets bigger, and ooh. The unprecedented look at Bennu was followed by another announcement, with 55 days until OSIRIS-REx reaches its destination. It's now less than 100,000 kilometers from the asteroid. The 7-year mission is designed to give astronomers a more detailed history of the solar system and potentially could even reveal the origins of life on Earth. Spoilers. One theory posits that the primordial beginnings of humanity may have been delivered here by an asteroid. In addition, because Bennu poses a potential collision threat, chasing the asteroid through the cosmos could give us valuable information necessary to protect the Earth from celestial cannonballs.
This is going to leave me sleepless.
Oh, the new film from Itzhaki Bennu? I really want to see that one.
And now in news that may make you take a cab again one day, lawyers representing a Southern California limousine company that sued Uber last month over state unfair competition allegations have now filed a motion for partial summary judgment. If the filing is granted by the judge, the motion would substantially streamline the case and answer the vexing question, are Uber drivers employees or not?
Nope. Independent contractors.
Ah, but therein lies the rub. The proposed class action lawsuit relies on a recently decided California Supreme Court decision that makes it more difficult for companies to unilaterally declare their workers as contractors, which effectively deprives them of benefits that would otherwise receive as employees. In the filing, Diva Limousine's lawyers wrote, "Well, this court can decide what issue and substantially streamline this case by answering one question." Yeah, I think it's one a Southern lawyer for some reason. "Is providing rides an integral part of Uber's business? If the answer is yes, then Uber drivers are Uber's employees." Courts in this district and elsewhere have already answered this question in the affirmative. For months now, companies, including Uber, have lobbied lawmakers in Sacramento to draft new legislation that would effectively overturn the dynamic standard. Meanwhile, on the federal level, Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced a bill that would codify dynamics. That bill has in turn been opposed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Attorneys representing Diva Limousine and Uber are set to appear before Judge Chen on November 15th. Somehow, I think that this is all a setup for a sequel to one of the greatest movies ever made about this topic. DC Cab 2, The Cabining.
Ooh, I bet Mr. T is available.
Either way, welcome to being real employees. Maybe Uber drivers. Hey, baby, congratulations. Welcome to the wonderful world of minimum wages.
This next story may seem like NSFW, but it's for medical reasons, so it's fine. So if we can just be adults for a sec, and yeah, I know it's me asking, but we need to talk about constipation.
We've been meaning to talk about this, but we just keep getting backed up.
I said be adults.
But you said for a second. Man, we're past that.
For people who suffer from ongoing constipation, you will do just about anything to find some relief. So now, I will offer you a vibrator.
Are you thinking of plungers?
No. Currently undergoing clinical trials, the Vibrant Capsule is a tiny vibrator inside of a capsule that you swallow to relieve constipation. Constipation relief is achieved by the capsule's vibrations of the large intestinal wall, consequently including natural peristaltic activity generating additional spontaneous bowel movements. Hopefully not too spontaneous. The capsule is activated by a base unit that transfers the data to the capsule. It operates inside the large intestines, washed out of the body with the bowel movement. It meets the highest safety standards using biocompatible materials. And for those of you freaking out thinking, what about having things go wrong? Or, oh God, what Terminator joke are they going to end this thing with? Don't you worry. Because according to the company's website, the capsule is controlled by an algorithm.
Wow, I feel better now.
Good, because that's the goal after all. And I personally can't wait for the commercials. I mean, there you got the nice scene, you got the Beach Boys, good vibrations playing in the background. A person decides to pop that little vibrator, then smile, because you know that shit's about to get good.
Really? The Beach Boys? You don't go with Marky Mark? Come on.
No, I went with talent. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 9.3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. And stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
Oh, yeah, say hello to your mother for me.
Okay, Mark, how's your burger place doing? Or you can always drop us a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or you
I don't
can
know, Sonny does that one.
Voicemail to
510-GRD.
You still cash the checks, don't you? Oh, look out, the wind's chasing you. And we will see you the next time we do.
It's not the wind, it's a transformer.
Peace out, player. You are all weirdos.
Right now, I wish I could crawl in a hole and pull it in after me.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Bucko.
Oh, Esteban, please. Can we have a masked ball? I want a new masked ball for my pretty new necklace.
What are you, loco? The peons are starting. The caballeros are yelling for my blood.
Yeah.
If I have a mass ball to show up your necklace, to show up, Zorro could not possibly resist trying to steal it.
Exactly.
A brilliant bait to catch a flaming bomba.
Esteban, I promise. It'll be so wonderful. It'll be the social event of the season.
Do you know that little thing we do one night every year?
Yes. Oh, yes.
We still have 3 months to go.